Hello. Good morning. Welcome. I am Samuel Trapp. This is Civic Outlaws. We're coming to you a little bit early today. We're coming to you on this beautiful Friday, very rainy morning if you happen to be in Kentucky, as I am. Wanted to do the show today, but unfortunately don't have all a sufficient time and have had a little bit of technology problem, but it appears to be resolved at present. We are coming to you, or should be coming to you, reasonably live, and hopefully not too much of a delay, showing up in our sound. I can't really test the sound at the same time, so I was kind of hoping, while I'm watching the screens click up, but the internet is spotty in this location. So anyway, sorry about the technical discussions or failures if they happen to be, but it appears to be receiving, and I hope that it's that the sound is coming through okay. I believe that it is. So I am excited for this Civic Outlaws version for today. We're very lucky, we're very blessed to have connected with some of the correct people in the Jefferson City area, our own lake area, and discussing many topics with our leaders, our state reps. As you know, Ike Skelton locally does a program right here on Dam Radio that he's here however many, you know, one time a week on Wednesdays, and he's got a ton of shows. I couldn't really even tell you how many that he's actually completed, but he's been doing it since the very beginning, and I think Ike is a very good addition to Dam Radio. I like the fact that we have some very gifted and talented folks here on the station. And I encourage you to listen to Dam Radio anytime you can. Probably the most technically challenged of the bunch is me, but I'm also the one who does my shows the most often from random places around the world and or around the country. Today I'm coming to you live from the state of Kentucky. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky. Did some touring yesterday. Went to a couple of bourbon locations. I went to Four Roses, a distillery. That was a very nice experience. And they have some, I almost bought a Four Roses bow tie. And I wear a real bow tie. I don't wear the ones you actually have to tie. And they're not that easy to find. Now, on an up note, I don't wear my tux but once a year anyway, unless it's some occasion and that would require a tux. Where are those? Not all that many, friends and neighbors. you get to wear your tux. The fact that mine still fits is a testament to the fact that I'm an unhealthy person that doesn't eat very well. So, at any rate, this tie was a beautiful tie. With Four Roses, and it was yellow and black with a red rose on it. Quite nice, quite striking. And I might have to go back there and buy that if I can encourage the clan that I'm with. We're staying in a large mansion-style home built in 1930-something. And it's a very large, I should get the name of it for you, so that though next time you come to horse races. Yesterday we visited a retirement home for horses, race horses. Saw some it was very cool. And it's a charitable organization that takes all old race horses, and they have a cemetery for them there. They have, each one has their own paddock. I mean, it was, if you're into horses, as are a number of our traveling companions, then you certainly should take this. I happen to be into bourbon. I like bourbon. And so we went to Four Roses. We went to Wild Turkey. We went to a place called Castle and Key. It was extremely interesting, and this is a cool, you know, if I could figure out how to make whiskey in my still in the, you know, in the woods somewhere, perhaps I could build a distillery somewhere, and that will bring us back to our ATC scenarios. Now, if I could get to where we are with Civic Outlaws today, by the way, I began the show about 20, 25 minutes early today, and I'm going to end the show about 20, 25 minutes early today, but the full version will be available at civicoutlaws.com on our website. That will be available later today. And you can always search for Civic Outlaws at on Podbean, which is our host for all three of my podcast / radio shows. I do International Flavor, as you know. I do Civic Outlaws, as you also know. And then I do my Russian version of International Flavor as well. And all three of those are hosted on Podbean. So you can always search them out there. But the address for that is civicoutlaws.com/podcast. As always, if you like to listen to International Flavor, you could go to internationalflavor.com. Anyway, now that I've done all the preliminaries and all the excitement about my own relocation, but wanting to get my show in today, I didn't want to not report on some of the cool things that are happening at Civic Outlaws. We have engaged in a couple more topics along with ATC. I met with two state reps this past week, a large contingent of gaming manufacturers, because I've spoken to you in the past about how ATC is bootstrapping, ATC being alcohol tobacco control, and what they're doing is bootstrapping. So to educate, I've been trying to educate as well the representatives, the senators, the info people that are people that need this information and that need to understand, you know, what it is we're coming from. We at Civic Outlaws, we want to work together with the state reps, the legislators. We, you know, we have some very talented people that we're associated with, people that own businesses, people that want to join together as a voice. And I have talked to you, I think, briefly about an association that we have built. Okay. Now, I've been working with some of the, they're called VLTs, video lottery terminals. Now, these are the games that you might see if you, here in Kentucky land, I saw them in a liquor store. Went into a liquor store after going to the Four Roses to buy some tonic water and was looking around in there. And they have video lottery terminals, VLTs. And these things, and they name them different things. They're different brands of how they are. I had a discussion with a state rep on this topic, as well as some lobbyists and some of the gaming owners. That was a very informative discussion. The state of Missouri is either going to legalize or illegalize these machine terminals. And inside of places like gas stations, you can go into the people that are naturally against such sorts of things are places like casinos. Now, I think that's a misplaced being against if the reasoning for it is what was described to us as just being against it because they are, you know, they want to be the sole repository for gambling, or they want the regulation to come from the lottery side. If it's because, as some people say, that the, I don't know, the power behind the casinos is against these video lottery terminals because there's only 13 casinos in the state of Missouri, and you think that by eliminating these terminals, you're somehow going to increase the travel to your own casino that is legalized. And that's one argument. I think that's a weak argument. Number one, it doesn't jibe. It doesn't go well with that. First of all, the person who's playing a video lottery terminal and spending, you know, whatever amount of money they're spending isn't the type of person who's going to go to your casino anyway. Typically, the standard person isn't going to do that. It's somebody that's going local, that's going to go play a game, that's a truck driver at a truck stop, that is passing the time, that is doing something like that. Truck driver at a truck stop is limited by the number of hours and miles and, you know, well, it's hours that he can drive in a day. And so he has to have a place to entertain. So what he's supposed to do, you can only drive 8 hours to maybe it's 10, depending on the day, but however the regulations are, I don't keep track of those on a regular basis, but those people are trying to sit in a truck stop and do several things: get a bite to eat for, you know, without having to eat fast food in your truck, maybe take a shower and engage, maybe run into some people, maybe get some maintenance done on your truck, and maybe engage in a little bit of entertainment because you're not just gonna sleep in the back of your truck. Okay. That's where most of them do sleep, you know, when all of them, in fact. it's the rare guy that's going to get in the hotel every night. The expense isn't worth it. And so, at any rate, they need a place to entertain themselves, and they can't go to the casino. They're not towing their personal vehicle along behind them. So, solidarity with truckers, as usual. Those guys have a tough life, and they should be able to entertain themselves as they see fit. You know, perhaps if you're looking at a law from a legislative point of view, those people can determine when you want to put what particular places you want to have them in. Maybe you don't want to have one, and maybe you limit it by the number of counties. I don't want to give ideas that ideas don't exist. A business will survive or not survive based upon, you know, several different things that you as a legislator may not know about. But that doesn't mean you should limit what other people want to do or how other people want to make money. Anyway, that's part of the education process that we had some lengthy discussions, and I've learned a hell of a lot more about this. I've met with state reps about it. I've met with lobbyists and some of these terminal owners from all across the state and in other states as well, for that matter. And so I'm not against these things, just as a particular you know, geez, I don't know whether it's moral, religious, whatever. I don't have any concrete convictions about these machines one way or the other. My leaning is, if people want to do that, fine, more power to them. If someone wants to provide a service for that, also more power to them. Now, perhaps you should, you know, have an addiction process. If somebody's losing their rent, you know, because they can't stay away from the video lottery terminal at the gas station down the street, well, perhaps you put a protection program in for people like that. Or you, I don't know, maybe, but there are ways you can deal with that, you know, if you wish to make sure that the issue doesn't become that. I don't need you regulating my gambling habits. If I choose to, maybe you should have an addiction program if I happen to have it. As a young man, I liked gambling. I did it fairly often. I went to, as a diplomatic interpreter, I spent every other week in Las Vegas, and then Washington, D.C. And I got a couple of days off every week to go cruise Las Vegas, and I enjoy gambling. I enjoyed it. But I've never had a problem losing my, you know, my rent. You know, you only use your ex. That's entertainment for me. It's a challenge for me. I play poker. You know, I play Texas Hold'em. I play blackjack. I've always been fond of craps. I love playing craps. And every once in a while, I'll buck the odds, buck the tiger at the roulette wheel, just because it's fun. And you know, you're meeting people. You're having. I don't have any I would never condemn someone because they're gambling. No, I'd feel sorry for someone that is losing the, you know, their fortune. You know, I know of some people who have really come into trouble with some of that gambling. That doesn't mean you eliminate gambling for the entire world. Okay, we've had these similar discussions with lewdness with ATC. And the point that I'm telling you about these video lottery terminals is I intimately understand what alcohol tobacco control has been doing without a proper grant of state authority. They don't have it. They, which is why they tried the end run around the judge in December, why they went and attempted to create and get Benny Cook to sponsor a bill that would give them arrest authority. Those are not police officers. Those are licensing agents. And you can't treat your department as a police department. It's not permitted. It does not say in your grant of authority that the alcohol, tobacco control is a police department. Doesn't exist. Okay. Now, it also doesn't say that you can arrest anybody for anything. That's what House Bill 2378, House Bill 3154 were attempting to do, and why I, you know, we at Civic Outlaws researched, developed, wrote an article, sent it out to all the state reps and legislators, had several meetings. I've had four meetings with state reps, with state reps discussing this particular bill and other effects of it, which are including these things on video lottery terminals, which had a hearing on Wednesday. And I didn't make that because I was in another meeting at the Capitol, and I wanted to go and dig further into that. And I'm starting to spend my time at the Capitol, or some of it, going over some of these issues because I believe it is important. I also believe that one of the methods for dealing with video lottery terminals that people have been engaged in at the local prosecutorial levels is using the liquor license, as the tail twister. And this is the problem that I have been describing with alcohol and tobacco control from the very first show, 7-8 weeks ago, on here on Civic Outlaws. Okay, you are not permitted to create your own police department. You know, Sam doesn't get to go out create his own police department. You know, I don't get to do that. I could, you know, create a security firm or something like that, but I can't create my own police department. ATC doesn't have the authority, through whatever regulator they think they are, to go and create a police department. They also do not have the authority to pick and choose crimes that they wish to enforce. And as Clayton Weems, the Attorney General's arguer-in-chief, at least for this case, argued in front of Judge Stumpy, that we're not criminally enforcing Chapter 573, Judge. We're not criminally, you got to read the transcript, I'll post it out on Civic Outlaws. We're not criminally enforcing, we can't criminally enforce our liquor laws. Okay, well, that's what you're doing. If you go into somebody's business and say, and have a checklist that says, are you engaged in gambling? You know, do you have gambling machines in your office? Not only are you the one determining what kind of machine is in there, you get to do, you're the sole arbiter of what a gambling terminal is. And trust me, the legislators don't know, the lobbyists don't know, the operators have various definitions that they're attempting to cope with. Torch pushes one way, federal judge ruling against Torch pushes another, Catherine Hanaway pushes another, and everybody's got a different interpretation of what it is. And ATC wants to come in and use a little checklist that just says gambling terminals on it, and use that to take your liquor license. They're the sole arbiter of what that is. you as the operator, well, you know, geez, screw you. You're not a regulator. We're the regulator. And the courts are supposed to defer to us, but not after Loper-Bright over the Supreme Court decision, Loper-Bright 2024 overturned the Chevron doctrine. Chevron doctrine, which said that courts would defer to regulators who are professionals. You know, the regulators know everything. That law's been around since the 80s, 1983, I want to say. And nonsense ruling, by the way, back then. And so that was finally fixed by the United States Supreme Court, codified in Missouri, and under chapter RSMO, chapter 536.140, and says that judges will consider such overreach by a regulator, de novo, brand new, which means they can go all the way back to 1983 or further if they wish to. If somebody has acted outside the scope of the grant of their authority, and the judge becomes the arbiter, the determiner of what is legal versus isn't, not ATC through some checklist form that some guy making, I don't know, $30 an hour is out there discretionary funding, and by sending a bill to Benny Cook and saying, hey, geez, give me arrest authority. That's it? That's your answer? That's a crappy answer. And the legislature needs to give a better answer, both for the people running bars that are being, have a checklist for something lewdness that is never defined. And in fact, that it is defined, it actually requires them to investigate it in another way. You know, if you don't like Hooters shorts that they're wearing, you actually have to declare them a nuisance under county law, under their own chapter 311, but not so if you're an ATC agent. You've got the trusty form that you get to pull out and have some, you know, review where you're the sole person who describes whether a woman wearing a bathing suit that happens to show some pubic hair, some women don't shave, an ATC agent, what are you doing? Looking at her crotch anyway. Now, to get the full details of those stories, you should go back to my prior program, you know, because they're all out there on Civic Outlaws. But the point is that the ATC and some local prosecutors, depending on the county you can go to, are trying to. Now, I feel better about the local prosecutor than I do about anybody else. But the local prosecutor is also not the one. He can go to the police locally, like the sheriff's department, and say, okay, what Hannaway is doing over here, if she wants to just go after Torch, that's her job. I'm going after Torch. She's making a political attack on Torch and maybe some other ones. But her big issue is Torch, because Torch is fighting back. And so what Torch... who lost the ruling in the federal judge. And if you read that ruling, which I have, it is a judge making a determination. Now, I believe it's going to be appealed. The likelihood of appeal, you know, I have my opinion on that as well. And we shall discuss that as the time frame continues, as we go along on these topics on Friday afternoons, or Friday mornings, I mean, and as we do this on Civic Outlaws. By the time I do the recording and get it all posted up on civicoutlaws.com/podcast, it's usually the afternoon, but you can listen live usually every Friday. Today it was a little bit early, but every Friday from 7 a.m. Central Time until 8:30 Central Time. And if you have any discussions about these, you can call in live and talk to me about some of these. I want to speak with some of the state reps out there. I thought I'm scheduling a couple of meetings with some of these VLT owners, or perhaps with some lobbyists. And there, I had an interesting conversation with one of the lobbyists here for one of the companies, and I hope to follow up and meet with him some more. I hope that I am able to do so, and that pans out the way I wish. Probably bad timing on my horse race adventure here, going to Belmont and trying to see what shall be seen on the horse races. I've only been to the horse races once or twice, and two, three times, and I enjoy it. It's a heck of an ordeal. I'm not sure I brought anything fancy enough. All the people that I'm here with, they've invited me a couple of times, 3 years ago. We were supposed to do Kentucky. No, it was during COVID. We were supposed to do Kentucky Derby together, and that didn't pan out all that well. And didn't end up doing it this time. And we've had some troubles before. We've been to Hackville a couple years ago. There was some music festival going on there, and we're great, but some St. Louis, Columbia, and we together trying to fit them all to show with me, or go to be an entertaining scenario if we can figure it out. I think I saw that I'm hoping that this connection is working as well as it ought to. If there's some downplay, I guess I will have to cut that out when I edit the show at the end. At any rate, lots of interesting things going on the level of the... I'm going to go to my computer parts here, and we're going to speak about a couple of things coming from our tracking alert. We have some tracking alert, and we go back, and some of the things that we have been checking out this week are, where is it? Here it is. We call them our intelligence briefing that we get. And so remember, our reach at Civic Outlaws, and I'm going to get I've spoken and done some preliminaries with a couple of state reps. I haven't gone into the Senate yet to do that, but I'm going to and try to get some meetings set up and speak with some of these. And here's some of the things that they are looking at right now. Now, I told you last week a tiny bit about the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules trying to formalize new cannabis microbusiness regulations that shift ownership review to before license are issued. Now, that is what 3154 ATC was attempting to impose upon liquor license holders. I'm against that, and I believe I've outlined for you in the last program why. And the reason that it should be fought, at least on the liquor license side, is similar argument. My initial reaction to it on the cannabis side is that it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be able to hide behind your license, but I don't believe this is the best way to attack that alleged problem. One of the questions you need to make, a continual question if you're a civic outlaw, and we hope that you come and do our civic outlaws. I've almost got the online donation forms for our Facebook and our website formalized. You can go out to the website even now and donate to our causes of action, because this is a real job. The fact that I'm at the horse races for 2 days, notwithstanding, doesn't mean I'm not committed to this. I haven't done anything real exciting. I missed my trip in December. I was going to go to St. Petersburg, Russia, to do this, but I'm trying to make sure that we don't lose focus on some of these things due to my desire to travel, and that sometimes those travelings don't go in the proper time. We have I'm looking for, if you know of anyone that is gifted in research and is talented in administrative functions and has a little bit of skill and background, perhaps a paralegal type, I am in search of a person like that to work in our office in Osage Beach, Missouri. I would prefer someone with either a legal or a administrative state background, something like that, that we can bring in as a partner with us, as an employee of Civic Outlaws, to come and work with us and hopefully get involved in some of these issues. We are looking even now, and I will be working very closely with this person to make sure that none of our targeted regulation reviews, our civic outreach, our attack against government overreach, because we're pushing the federal levels as well. We're going to start it with something cool. One of the discussions I had with one of the state reps I met with this week, get this. So I was quizzing him about the law judges. Because I was asked him about Senate Bill, what he knew about Senate Bill 996, the Administrative Law Judge Accountability Bill, because that one I'm just doing a little bit of research on. And it proposes a mandatory audit of an administrative law judge's performance, streamlining the ALJ removal process with transparency requirements. So transparency, they're looking at transparency, how decisions are made, how things happen in government. The governor is pushing an openness in government, has been since he was elected. You know, he ran on that topic. And so my bitching about Sunshine Law and how ATC avoids it and how other agencies are avoiding it and the creation of this law that allows them to send you $360,000 bills that you got to pay in advance and then wait 44 years to get your documents to your requesting go fly straight in the face of any sort of government transparency. But then you have actions like this. You want administrative law accountability, administrative law judge accountability through Senate Bill 996. And so you want to talk about that, but ignore what ATC is doing in creating their own defenses to people sending them sunshine requests, which were helped by the legislature, allowing this six-month bill that shows it's dead on the vine if you don't sue them, I suppose, which we have done. We have tried to add that as a count in our current action in Cole County on behalf of Jax Inc. and going through their avoidance strategies of Sunshine Law. Well, while talking with this state rep about that bill, he brought up, not me, and I'll tell you who it is, but I'm going to put my notes together on him first. I'll tell you who he is, and then next week we'll talk about the discussion I had with this with a couple of state reps this week, because it wasn't really on this topic. We were just chatting before all of us were in the group, and he asked me my thoughts on the judicial selection, because that's been in the news too. The judicial selection part that I bitch about all the time, that they are talking about, they're discussing the amendment that was put out for this alleged nonpartisan judicial selection, which is absolutely not nonpartisan. Just because it doesn't pick a party over another doesn't mean it's not heavily slanted toward what one agency that pretends it's not an agency in the state of Missouri, the Missouri Bar, not an agency, not a state agency, doesn't work for the Supreme Court of Missouri, creates its own crap, sometimes used by the state Supreme Court, sometimes not, depending on whether you're attacking a particular lawyer like Samuel Edward Von Trapp, when he was a lawyer, until they targeted him and take down particular lawyers with no ability to come back or to do anything. They bring back criminals. Back people who went to prison, but they don't bring back us. Anyway, I babble a little bit about that. I can't help it but talk about that stuff when it comes up, because what they did to me is just flat out wrong, you know. And I'm not talking about the discipline. I'm talking about the refusal to create a process that allows me to come back, and it's an illegal process. Now, they get away with it because lawyers and judges, they all stick together in the judicial branch. And in Missouri especially, this nonpartisan group, I was asked about this state rep, what my thoughts were on the nonpartisan selection. I told him it's a bullshit scenario. It's completely wrong. It maybe was not wrong back in the 30s when you created it, but to advertise it as they advertise it today is ludicrous. You know, they're acting like the agency of the Missouri Bar isn't a heavily slanted organization that, you know, is all about camaraderie if you're the right comrade. You know, they, you want to be the right comrade? Well, great. You want to bow and lick the boots of the bar? Then they won't target you. But if they choose to target you, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it, because the legislative branch and the executive branch has no power over them like they do over every other licensing agency in the state of Missouri. The Supreme Court has no power over them because they just wrote them existence paper, you know, 100 years ago. It wasn't quite that long, but they wrote them an existence paper and said you can exist, and now they are allowed unilateral control by some board of governors, who the board of governors is appointed by themselves by kissing each other's asses. That's how you get promoted, or you know the right group of lawyers, and that's how you get to be the board of governors. That is not the American way. Okay, it just isn't. And you shouldn't get to do it that way. Well, those are the people that established the committee that heavily influences, I say controls, but at a minimum influence, at the scary part, controls how judges are selected for any appellate judicial position in the state of Missouri, for many of, well, for all the big cities, Kansas City, St. Louis, St. Louis County, St. Louis City, and Springfield is picking them this way. Other places are trying to use these. Well, of course they're jumping on board, because the lawyers get to pick who the judge is. Nonsense. Nonsensical. They should be accountable to the people. That's what open government is about. And so I gave that opinion. And I'm a mini expert on that. I would love to do more and speak more about that. But all of these things go together in your openness in government, in your excessive power, and all of these come through civic outlaws for questioning. I need a larger team. We need your funding, your support, your time. If we have people that are interested in these kind of things, we are working with state reps and legislatures for our issues. We're an education arm right now, educating people on why this is important and getting a lot of play doing it. The fact that we were able to get pulled, and I had a discussion with Benny Cook on the phone, called me last Friday and told me that these bills are dead. House Bill 3154, at least as they approach the alcohol tobacco control. These are his words to me. They are dead. They will not get voted on with ATC. He's taken the ATC language out. That was confirmed by the state rep that I met with this week. Well, two of them that confirmed that the ATC portions will be pulled from those bills, in part because of our articles and getting other senators on board with what we were talking about. We sent out my articles on these things to each and every state rep and senator, and made sure that they got information regarding this. This is how people can have an impact on things that are important to them. I'm not sure if JR wanted me to comment on this or not, and I know it's a tiny bit off topic, but there's a Meet the Candidate thing that we're going to attempt to work together with on next week. I believe it's Monday night. know, JR will keep posted if you have information or you want to meet candidates for Miller County or for things like that. I believe the Meet the Candidate Forum is going to be at Encore on Monday evening. And I, for one, intend to be there. So let us see. I'm juggling around on my tablet right now, making sure that I get to all of the appropriate places for review. Want to make sure that we get there and then talk about everything that needs to be talked about. We're going to be going from all, hopefully, to only about 10 or 15. I'm examining the studio board right now, and the phone lines appear to be, all the sound appears to be coming in pretty good. I can only go back and forth, and I have to go to different screens to get it done. So everything appears to be going pretty well. I won't always see the phone calls if you phone in. Sorry about that. But I will try to bounce back there if they show up. They don't quite pop up as well on the remote. When you're in the studio, they'll pop up and harass you that they're there, but I'm doing it from afar. All right, back to our topic list on this. Where else were we? The House Bill 3154, according to what we're receiving from the news sources, show that House Bill 3154, which includes all of this information, it says was referred to the Rules Administrative Committee. And that one wants to modify criminal history check requirements for alcohol and gaming license, including fingerprint authority was referred to the House rules. Now, Benny Cook told me that the ATC portion was going to be removed from there. That was confirmed when I met with these other two state reps and said that it was. But on the news tracker, it doesn't say that. It says it's an expansion, that this expansion of ATC's background check powers is still out there. Now, I'm not positive, you know, how they continue to enforce or slide them through, you know, but I'm keeping track. I'm definitely keeping track. And I was told now by three people, state reps, that this bill portion, at least the part regarding ATC background check bills, is dead. That this 10% rule needs to be revisited. So is what they're trying to do and what they were doing in the cannabis micro business rule, which or shouldn't always work that way, because it's not the way it's supposed to go. Oops, I hope I'm not dead on the topics here. We're going to have to go back and make sure that we aren't. Son of a bitch. Here we are remote, and I'm saying son of a bitch on the radio. Okay, well, I'm getting weird signals on my... This remote stuff, I have to buy a different platform for this. I need my own little remote platform. 99 times out of 100, it goes pretty well, and it works seamlessly, quite well. And maybe it has been working seamlessly, but it gives me an alert when the connection goes down. But the connection going down isn't a bad deal on all counts. Anyway, sorry that you have to learn along with me while I'm trying to figure this out and discuss something else, because it's an interruption of our topic that we were going through. But the only way I can check it is to go back to the other screen, and that kind of removes my notes. So what they're doing on the cannabis side, what they have always done, and which ATC is trying to import into their own, is that they have been reviewing the people who apply for licensing for cannabis. And these people include all the people that are a member of the organization. And that ownership review goes down to 10% ownership. Now, that's never been the case in alcohol and tobacco. Frankly, I'm not sure it should be the case in cannabis. And I don't give a crap about I give a crap about cannabis. I don't use myself, never have, don't care for it, wouldn't have no desire to do drugs, never have. I don't even drink, rarely. You know, I used to drink, when I was younger, quite a bit, but I don't like it and I don't do it anymore. I have always been more or less a light drinker. I have some embarrassing details in that regard, as a lot of young men do, as they're coming up. Alcohol affects people in different ways, and as you get older, it affects you more. Now, but that doesn't have anything to do. I've been in restaurants and had liquor licenses, okay? And there were one that we owned was Beavers at the Dam down when it opened up, whatever year that was, back in 2010 or whatever, where I owned that building with two other people, or owned the business with two other people. I believe I was the one who applied for the liquor license. And that I had to be one of the person responsible. You have to identify who is responsible. That's how it works. That's how it should work. You identify the person responsible. And we did that because one of the guys lived far away. The other guy traveled a lot. And so I was the one most likely to be around because I lived at the lake and on a regular basis. And so I was the most likely to be there. Now, you have to have a manager who knows what the hell's going on of your restaurant as well. So you have to have a local contact, a local thing that they do that, okay? So, but now what ATC wants to do is not allow Sam Trapp to just come in and get a liquor license for the facility that operationally reports to me because I'm the local voice. But they want to go check the other two out as well. There's an argument to be made, and that in the cannabis end of the spectrum, that people who are, investing in a cannabis location to sell cannabis, that perhaps you should make sure that they're not, some drug cartel from Mexico. Perhaps you should, or from all drug cartels, according to what's happened, they're all from Venezuela. Remember, all of our narco terrorism comes from Venezuela. So we need to use Venezuela as the bad guys. By the way, there's a long story to get into about how ATC is granting liquor licenses to illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. It's busted out, and that's come through, and I've read the documents, but I haven't put my thought process together on it. I'm going to, and that will probably be the topic next week, because here it is again, this ATC overreach. I'm telling you, they ought to form a committee to go into ATC's overreach. The documents that I have, the documents that they've provided us before they decided they were no longer going to provide them or were going to charge us $361,000. Somebody who wants to donate that amount to us, it would be really fun for one of you rich people out there to hand us over $300,000+ just so we could pay it to Templeton, Kristen Templeton, who is the acting supervisor of the alcohol tobacco control. So we could say, all right, here's your $300,000. Now, can you speed up the 44 years for us? Can you do something so that we really don't have to wait 44 years to get the answers we're looking for? I'll be dead by that time. I'll be dead by the time 44 years is over. And I'd really like to be alive to resolve this problem and not have to figure out how to, you know, I wait that long, you know, my Templeton may not be with us anymore. I don't know how old she is, but, you know, it's possible. She's not 44 years. Geez, the average, state worker, you know, aren't they at a 25 to 30 year for retirement? She may be gone by then. 44 years. Will the answer even matter? Will the state reps change the law? And hope they change the law in sunshine in the meantime, because they're using it as a club to beat you with, not as a transparency mode. Mr. Governor, these people are not into your transparency. They don't like it. They don't want your transparency. And they have been empowered now because of this new ruling that says you can charge them money, and then if they don't pay it, you can say, huh, well, looks like they weren't interested anyway. So I think it's important that that be revisited on the Sunshine Law request, but also needs to be reviewed on the ownership mechanism of certainly ATC ownership mechanism, trying to bootstrap the micro business rules for marijuana into alcohol control so that they can once again expand their own power, just like they tried to do with 3154 and 2378, that they're now trying to suck it in so that they can change their rules to go after a 10% owner who may not have anything to do with the operation of the site. And by the way, it'll be applied unequally, absolutely, because that what will happen is, I don't know, pick one, Chili's, Applebee's, someplace like that, that has a bar inside and has a local face of who they contact to check out that particular bar as an ATC agent, won't be the same thing that they'll use for a mom-and-pop liquor store, for a local bar that doesn't have a corporate backing and a corporate legal department and a legal team to influence, as it were, alcohol, tobacco. That is where arm number three of Civic Outlaws we are creating. It's called the Missouri Licensee Protection Association. Missouri License Protection Association. We're offering this as a common, you have common interests. So the problem is, if you're, for example, a liquor license holder, an ATC comes in and targets you. One little agent comes in and says, who pretends he's a policeman, you know, sporting a weapon, you know, wandering, make sure you understand that he gets to go undercover in your place if he wants and leave his, I left my badge and my gun in my car. That's a funny, it's called Missouri Alcohol Tobacco Control Police Department document. So first of all, they create their own police department. Second of all, they create their own police officer. Third, they justify their own undercover actions to go after your drivers or your liquor license. All of those are just ludicrous, but, and which is why, according to Weems, oh, geez, no, we wouldn't do that. That would be ludicrous, but you are doing that. That is what you are doing. That is what you are backing by allowing them the discretion to go outside of the approved regular, of the approved statutory environment written by the legislature, by saying, but wait, we're not criminally enforcing 573. We're only administratively enforcing 573. We get to choose who's violating 573. That's not how the law works, but that's what you're doing. You get to pick and choose who's violating 572 by having a VLT machine in the statutory RSMO 572 chapter, because you have a video lottery terminal. You get to decide which terminals are legal versus illegal. Catherine Hanaway gets to go, no, I want to go after Torch. I don't want to go after whoever any of these other people are. I don't want to go after this particular operator in my own county. And I don't want to go after them because that would mean they might not be for me for election later. But I'll go after Torch because a federal judge just made a mistaken ruling where he said that according to Missouri law, it is illegal. Well, he can say that, and he has said that. I believe he'll be overturned, but that's what he said. And I believe he'll be overturned for the exact same reason. But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But it's few and far between, just so you know. And I've been right and lost, and that's the trouble with the law. You know, that's the trouble with the risk, and that's why Civic Outlaws exists. It will help you spread the risk, or at least not have to have your lawyer retrain for your particular case. You can use us as the research arm and get the topics together. If you're a VLT terminal guy, you can say, listen, what package do you have that you can provide to us, right? And I have those. What package can you provide for us to fight ATC's refusal to provide us sunshine law? Well, here's where we go, because we accumulate data on all of that as well. Then you can say, well, what are they doing about lewdness, which we've talked about before? What are they doing about VLTs? What are they doing about 10% license owners? What are they doing about creating their own police department? What are they doing about all the things that Civic Outlaws and a company have been researching for the last months? I think that truly needs to happen, and I am floating the idea of, so way back when I was suing police departments all the time, suing individual lying police officers all the time, officers who, you know, shoot people willy-nilly, and they get away with it. You know, it's a horror story. When I come out about excuse me, about being against immunity, you know, qualified or otherwise, qualified immunity, how you get out of it, state level, it's called official immunity, that these things need to be much better defined, and allowing the police to always win on this end was because they didn't have a common voice. Now, what they've started doing, and they started this 15, 20 years ago, some very forward-looking ones a little bit before that, but what they've created are these things called CABs, Citizen Advisory Board, or CAPS, Citizen Advisory Panel. And what they're doing is, it's truly lopsided, kind of like it was, you have, and I got to admit to having a little, you know, a little concern about this type of thing myself, because when we were attacking 3154 and 2378 and discovered that they had floated, ATC had floated these ideas through DPS to Benny Cook, when they had done that, the presumption was that he was in on it. I don't think that's true anymore. I've learned some things, but I was certainly worried about that in the beginning. I think he was played by DPS and by ATC. That's my own very well-educated guess. And that he was being fed a line to get arrest authority outside of what the statutory requirements already are. And for exigent circumstances, completely discretionary. And in some ways, if you're a police officer, it actually makes sense, okay? And so there's going to be a tendency on their side to go, well, yeah, that makes sense. And the tendency on a legislator's side, especially in the public safety committees, areas, is going to be, well, that, you know, that does make sense. In the event of an emergency, completely discretionary. By the way, it's outside of their lane. They seem to miss that part or haven't been prepped for that part. But trust me, ATC and DPS legislative liaisons know that. They know they're acting outside and they're trying to bootstrap and run around what their statutory authority is by giving them what more statutory authority. So if you can give these guys the ability to arrest, you can frighten people into submission because now they have the power to arrest. Whereas before they didn't. They can't come in and arrest, you know, your manager because your manager, I don't know what, is gave some liquor to a underage person. They can call the police and have them to come in, and I believe that's the way it should be because they are separate lanes. There's a criminal act, which may or may not have to do with the business. And, you know, they want to know, well, geez, what if somebody is selling drugs out of the back of this bar in downtown Jeff City? What if drugs are being sold out the back? Well, have the police investigate. They can go undercover. You don't send a licensing agent to go undercover. It's not his job. It's nonsense. And so for them to bootstrap and try to take that, that's the nature of what it is. And everybody needs to stay in their lane in order for this place to remain America, in order for Missouri to remain America. You don't get to go and create your own rules just because you happen to be ATC. You don't get to go and take authority you don't have. Now, by the way, this nasty backdrop of how it really works and how new law gets imposed upon people, this is how it works. And if you don't have people paying attention, and by the way, even if you are paying attention, doesn't mean you're going to be able to prevent them from getting away with it. But hopefully you can shine a spotlight on it long enough and keep those cockroaches at least scurrying for cover, you know, instead of just, you know, marching in a line until they get to the increased power that they've been trying to get to. Now, I've covered a lot of ground on this today and gone not quite as far as I wanted to on a couple of topics and probably too far on some other topics of where to get it. But what I want to do is I'm keeping track of these rules that are ongoing. Cannabis is a big topic for us right now. Like, we're following the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, its campaign against predatory practices in cannabis microbusiness licensing. And they're talking about this hidden ownership structure, okay? Exploitative financial arrangements and unfair contracts targeting applicants who own the equity. Well, those are separate issues. Again, those just need to be, if you have a good legislative team, they will attempt to understand all of the factors that impact why someone. That's the question that doesn't get asked often enough. And I feel if there was anything missed in 3154, 2378, and how those things came up this term. Remember, the people who get attention are the people who bring the problems. I want to be one of the guys bringing and discussing the problems. And that's what I'm doing on behalf of other people. And I know where to go to speak to the right people. And we are engaging in that. But I'm not alone in this. And ATC and DPS are going the other route and are trying to get their coalition of people together. They want that arrest authority for alcohol, tobacco agents. Why? The question is why? Why do you want it? The only reason you could want that isn't because there might be an emergency somewhere. You want to use that as a club to control the liquor license without having to take someone to a criminal level every single time. And that's what's going on in video lottery terminals. It's absolutely what's going on with attacking women. And they're, you know, whether they wish to be a performer in a club or whether they wish to be a young girl making large tips in a place like Hooters because people, you know, she likes to display herself. What difference does that make if you're not going to regulate a club or a swim-up bar where women's, you know, where the women are wearing far less, but liquor is being served? It makes no sense. Or depending on the officer, because some officer may come in and say, oh, by the way, that woman is showing pubic hair. Maybe she's from France. We don't allow people from France in here that don't want to shave their pubic hair. And hell, maybe she got a medical issue, you bozo, that she doesn't trim. Who cares? And what's the difference? If a man comes in there covered with hair, you don't do anything to him, and that's friggin' why don't you make, it's disgusting. Why don't you make those guys all go home and buy a bottle of Nair? You know, this is predatory, discriminatory, and downright wrong to go up to the owner of a swim-up bar and tell him to kick out a woman who's showing some pubic hair. Nonsense. And it's the same concept that ATC is attempting to bootstrap their way into using of cannabis laws. Why is it always a seriously? Now, for me, that's who I started with, so of course it's going to be ATC. But why are they such an easy target? Why have they made themselves such an easy target? You would think the governor would take, you know, we sent him a letter a week ago, more than that, and asked him, you know, we haven't heard from, you sent us two letters telling us that you were going to have DPS reach out to us. It's been 2 months ago. We haven't heard from those guys either because they've been spending their time with ATC agents and executives sending stuff over to Benny Cook to get him to put in new legislation so that they don't have to answer us. They don't have to change Sunshine Law requests. They can continue to dominate and attack the way that they've always, well, that they've become accustomed to over the last 4 or 5 years. If they wish to make their own police department, well, why are we allowing that Sam Trapp and Civic Outlaws to say we can't? Oh, my God, maybe we should be a police department. Why don't you have your liaison through the DPS send a letter to Benny Cook and tell him now that you wish to be a police department and you wish to have, well, what's wrong with that? What's the right answer? All I'm saying is this is information that everybody needs to consider. And somebody, and I believe we're having more success now because of how easy they've made themselves as targets, that we're having more effect against ATC overreach right now. And if 536.140 did anything for us, friends and neighbors, it made it acceptable to quiz government overreach. Certainly the Loper-Bright doctrine. So you could argue that that's a Donald Trump thing, that because of the horror story of his, that he got away with a lot of stuff after the fact. Like, we don't question him as much because of the huge targeting that he took at the hands of the government. And if the government doesn't like you, trust me, they come after you. And they did it very openly against Donald Trump. And they used the government as a weapon. An administrator, a bureaucrat, should not be able to use the government as their own personal weapon to target people, whether that's a guy named Sam Phillips at the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel for Lawyers, who gets to target particular lawyers for destruction, but he'd never target a big firm lawyer. That had never happened. He's going to target people who are small, individual, all on their own, and destroy them and tell them to their faces, I'm going to destroy you. It's ATC sending you ludicrous, crazy letters and saying, oh, gee, $380,000 or whatever the hell it was, and 44 years, and I'll give you an answer. I mean, why would you put that in writing? It's because you're so arrogant that you know you can do it without anybody having to second guess you. That is what we're after at both of those examples. And it's the same thing with the Missouri bar and how they pick judges and this ridiculous concept of the nonpartisan, if you want to call it that, judicial selection. It's not. And it's not even remotely nonpartisan. And what's even worse is, even let's say it is nonpartisan. Let's give them that argument. It's wrong, but let's give it to them and say that it is nonpartisan because you can't identify Republican and Democrat in the system, which is so bullshit. You don't need to worry about that because the people controlling it are the Missouri bar, who picks the three key members. Now, the only way a citizen has any effect in it is through the governor, who they may have elected. But the governor doesn't have any say in it. He can only select one of the three people that are sent to him by the bar. What a crock of shit. It's nonsense. He gets to appoint three people to a place. Then who are they going to be subservient to? You think the three lawyers of the bar have more power than the three citizens appointed by the governor? They sure as hell do. And then, by the way, who's the tiebreaker? Chief Justice of the court. Which way do you think he leans? Lawyer or citizen? How's he appointed? How's he appointed? He's appointed through the same committee. Through the same process. It's a bullshit process. And people have sold it for so long, they just think the emperor's clothes are still on. They are not. It's a bullshit process. Just like the Missouri bar itself is full of bullshit process. It's the exact same process that they use to come after you. Subordinate to no Missouri court oversight, certainly no judicial oversight, no legislative oversight of any kind, and certainly the Missouri bar is not subject to the governor, and they are only subject to themselves. And that's a problem, people. It really is. That's a huge problem, because they think that, well, they are untouchable. Nobody regulates them. They regulate themselves. And if they wish to destroy a lawyer, oh, they will. And there ain't a damn thing you can do about it, as I have proven. The Supreme Court of the United States will bow to, because they're in the same scenario, friends and neighbors. And that is extremely political, how they get selected. But that means it's kind of a hands-off, because where do their pool of selectees come from? From the deep state. Yes, from all of the educational, politically connected, the money backers and all of that. So they refrain from taking on cases of that nature. Okay? I'm going to shorten it up for you today because I have a lot of things going on here. It's a very rainy day. I have to prepare a couple of things, and I've already been warned that I can't be late when we go as a large group of people off to our latest horse adventures. And we're going to hit a few more. I'm trying to figure out how I can convince them to go to my favorite distillery. If anybody knows me very well, they know that I am a sipper of bourbon. I like a bourbon with a big ice cube. I have some cool round ones in my refrigerator, even now, that are great big, like an inch round. And you put one in a glass. I never do it anymore, but unless I'm on a trip like this. But I'm gonna get a select bourbon and bring back with me, and I would like it to be my favorite bourbon, Knob Creek. And found out that Knob Creek is only an hour away where they distill it here from where we are, and I may have to venture there even on my own, because I want to go and get I'll rat out my son, who drank my with some buddies it was years ago, about five or six, and I won't let him live it down, that I had a numbered edition bottle of Knob Creek rye in a small batch, numbered bottle. Very nice. You spend a little bit of money on that. You know, it's and you're not supposed to open it and just guzzle it like a drunk college student. Not that I ever was. By the time I went to college, I was my early 30s, and so I was not in that scene, but I know far too many who were Anyway, I've babbled enough for today. I apologize that I was a little bit over the map. I also apologize for the adjustments and timing of the program today because of my travels. But I did want to make sure to have a Civic Outlaws program today coming to you live from Kentucky, where we're going to go see the Belmont races this Saturday. And qualifiers for the Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby, the big boy. And I've seen a few horses that ran that Derby. The oldest horse, the oldest Derby winner, is still at that retirement home for horses. He is 32 years old. Was a very nice horse. Everybody's feeding him carrots and all of that. I didn't touch any of them. I didn't go up. I'm very glad I went, and I'm very glad I heard the history, more from a history standpoint for me. And it's, you know, I was able to see this particular horse and this particular, it's a very beautiful charitable organization that provides them a home to live out their years. Learned a couple of things about studding and what these guys make. $250,000 a date. So they get a date with another horse. The owner pays $250,000 per date to some of these Kentucky Derby winners. And they date. So according to this lady that gave us, she said that they sometimes date in their youth 200 times a year. I'm glad I never did anything like that. And I was very well behaved. 200 times a year, geez, I couldn't get 200 dates in a lifetime. But we'll see if you know, maybe they'll put me out to pasture somewhere and I'll get my own little paddock. Anyway, that's the end of the show for today. As soon as I can figure out how to get to the studio and disconnect properly here. I appreciate your listening today, this Friday morning. I hope you join us every Friday morning. Sorry for a little disjointed discussion here, but I would encourage you to listen to Dam Radio at all the time. We have some wonderful music that plays here that we can offer you Wednesdays, which is the largest, the biggest day in radio, and we hope that you listen into that. The show today, I'm a little bit more than an hour at present, and so it's only going to be an hour. We're usually half. Come Fridays, 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. is our standard time. We're very glad you listened. If you want to get with me at Civic Outlaws, Samuel T. at civicoutlaws.com. And you can, at International Flavor, Samuel T. at internationalflavor.com. If you wish to listen to any of the International Flavors of the past week, of the past year, you can go to internationalflavor.com. And this is program number 8 or 9 of Civic Outlaws every Friday. And you can go to civicoutlaws.com/podcast to listen to those. Go to damradio.com/schedule to get future schedules of any of the talk programs that go on. We have, you know, the Ike Skelton show. We got Gabby Hayes show. JR's on nearly every day. Jack has a car show on Monday nights. We've, you know, but you can always go out. Dam Schwag is on a bunch. The Shield Maidens of Missouri is awesome, and they are. You know, I've started listening to them more. They're very well placed and have similar interests to some of the things that I'm digging into. And I'm paying attention to your efforts, just so you know, we are. And we might want to get together and chat about some of ours, too. You have excellent insights, and they are great to listen to. I believe they're on Mondays. But anyway, you can go out to damradio.com/schedule and see all of those shows. We have fantastic music selection in the 8 hours when... wonderful talk is not occurring. So I encourage you to do that. Thank you for listening today, and I will see you next week, bright and early, 7 a.m. Have a good day.